Good morning, everyone. Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm your host, Rick McCann, and we're just really glad to be here. We're glad to be anywhere. In fact, a friend of mine just celebrated his 64th birthday over the weekend, and we always joke around about age just being a number, but we have to be honest, and this weekend we had that conversation. That honest conversation, you know, as you get up there in age, you start saying things like, well, I'm starting to feel like an old used car and I can't get any replacement parts. They don't make them anymore. Well, he celebrated his 65th birthday. Happy birthday to you, Tom. And, you know, many more. I'm just a few months away from that little mile marker myself. And we'll pass that and move on. We're glad that over the many years that we've been friends, we've enjoyed a lot of times, and we've always stuck it out together, even when we've had to go different ways because of our jobs and family and so forth. Friendship is very important, and I want each and every one of you to know that we're friends. And it's not like friends on Facebook. It's not like friends on social media where you really don't know those people. You really don't have any inner, you know, actions with them other than on that social media platform. No. Here at Private Officer International, each one of our members are family, and we try very hard to stay in touch with them. And we want you to know that you can contact us at Help Desk at Private Officer anytime for information or just to say hello. And some people actually do. Some people send me and several employees text every now and then, hey, just want to let you know I'm still above ground, everything is going all right. And that's great. Feel free to do that. Send us social media tweets, send us emails, call us on the phone if you'd like. And many people do have my own personal cell phone as well. You're invited to call or text anytime. I'm probably going to be awake 3 a.m or 3 p.m. It doesn't matter. All right. Well, again, we're here with a lot of breaking news, a lot of activity happening here in POI world, in our home base. But even more than that, we have a lot of other businesses and things are breaking loose. And I'm really busy and happy, and I hope that you all are staying busy and happy and safe as well. On a downturn note, Private Officer International memorial services, which usually are conducted live and in person throughout the country, we have decided here a few days ago that we will not make those personal visits due to the increase of COVID in many states. COVID-19, believe it or not, is a real virus. And it does kill people with or without other conditions. And after looking at things and discussing it with my team, we've decided to do a virtual program again this year. But next year, we're going to already begin lining those folks up, those locations, and we are definitely going to be hitting the road because I love meeting people, I love traveling, and I love spreading the gospel of what Private Officer International does, who they are, who our members are, and how many of our private officers give and pay the ultimate sacrifice by paying their life, putting their life on the line. As you all know, this past weekend, we did honor those thousands of heroes who gave their lives during 9/11. I have many memories, none of them good, about that day. And depending on who you ask and where you go to research the information about how many security officers were killed, you're going to find a lot of different numbers. We believe it's around 147. That's what we were able to substantiate, although at one time it looked like more than 300. Many security officers that were killed in 9/11 were never identified. There was a list of some known security officers. There was a list of some known law enforcement and firefighters, and those bodies that were not recovered were just assumed to be deceased. I know in my heart of hearts that there were many security officers not recognized during 9/11. Many security officers who died that may have been listed just as employees of certain companies. And the towers were large financial companies, investment companies, large entities with many employees, and many of those had their own proprietary security staff. There were also sworn peace officers to the New York City private police that were there on site. And there was also many contract security officers that secured the outer perimeter, the property, the plaza that were between the buildings. If you've ever been to New York City prior to 9/11, then you know that there were multiple buildings, not just two towers. There were multiple buildings in a plaza-like environment, park setting out there, many different restaurants, businesses, boutiques, retail. There was a lot going on, and it was not just the two towers. Unfortunately, on that day, not everyone got their due, and they still have not gotten their due, including private security. It is unfortunate that across the country and even in other countries, as we monitor more than 3,000 news sites around the world, and we get in our own office, we get international news as well. We see security officers in every country beyond the U.S., no matter if it's India or Brazil or Italy, France, Cuba, Canada, so many different security officers risking their life and doing everything they can to protect life and property and never getting any recognition. We're not the only country where we have this. This past weekend, I was able to give several statements to the media, sent out several press releases, and made my comments about the 9/11. We will never forget 9/11, but we need to learn from 9/11. One of the press releases that I sent out and had an opportunity to talk with someone in the media on Facebook, of all places, and, you know, I made the statement in the media press release that security officers have always been securing the country. It goes back thousands of years, not just hundreds, thousands. There's always been the guard someplace. And if you're a Bible-believing person, then you know that there were guards outside the temples and guards outside of many different buildings. And in the 1800s and early 1900s, many security officers were actually private police. So when you hear that private police title, it's not something new. It actually has been around for more than 100 years. Across the country, many security personnel are putting their life on the line every day. And as I told this media rep, and hopefully there'll be something in the news this coming week, we just don't hear about it. We just don't hear about it. Security officers every day, hundreds of security officers are injured. Now, I had someone, unfortunately, a member of POI, who forcefully wrote us a statement saying that we're full of bull crap and that security is not a dangerous job and that there's not many violent situations and that we're exaggerating the numbers. Actually, if anything, we're under-reporting because we only report those things that we know, not those that we assume or that we know in our heart or think. Across the country, hundreds of security officers are assaulted every day. That doesn't make the news. It doesn't make the headlines. It's not in the cable news. It's not in the forefront. So we're under-reporting. About I would probably say, and this is very conservatively, I would say 100 assaults on security a day nationwide. 50 states, 100 times 50. I think that's 5,000 the last time I went to school. So 5,000 assaults a day times 7 days a week, that's 35,000. That would be 140,000 assaults a month times 12 months. You're looking at close to 2 million assaults. That's reasonable. A number of years ago, I did an interview with a retired police lieutenant, and he said that security officers, those who work in security officers, are assaulted 10 times more than law enforcement and put their lives on the line as frequently, if not more frequently, than law enforcement. 9/11 was a terrible, terrible day, but it did begin the conversation about security and what security officers do across the country. It did begin the conversation of how we need more training and how those who are guarding government buildings and easy targets, soft targets, need to be trained further and how we need to have them better educated. Well, to some degree, we have done that in some states. When I come back from my first break, I'm going to talk about two states that are working on increasing that very thing. We have, for the last 18 years, tried to work hand in hand with regulatory agencies and state legislators on not only security officer training, but security officer recognition and, having them not only recognize for the good things, but also some type of assistance with their families in times of on-duty deaths. We're going to take a quick break. I do have a lot of things that we're talking about today. What else is new, right? What else is new? I'm glad that you're here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. Remember, join the conversation on Facebook. I know many of you have given up social media, but please get it back. Just be a friend with POI, and you're going to be part of that conversation at facebook.com/Private Officer International. And, of course, on Twitter, we're there 24 hours a day, believe it or not. Go and see all of the news posts and all of the things happening. Be part of that conversation, twitter.com/Private Officer. And, of course, you want to read our daily news blog because there's a lot of news that involves security there, www.privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Coming right back. Don't go away.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, 1 in 6 children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today, because 1 in 6 children in poverty is 1 too many. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
If you're not already receiving breaking news
and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Don Reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org. privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info, and you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. privateofficer.org. Welcome back to this edition of the Private Officer Beat, September the 13th, midway through the month of September 2021. Still keeping an eye on the tropics, and of course, this weekend we did have another tropical storm that developed, quickly went across the Gulf, across the tip of northern Florida, and out to the Atlantic. Not too much happened with that storm. Another couple of storms are close behind. We're keeping an eye on that. There's one right now in the Gulf that's quickly spinning up and supposed to be a tropical storm, possibly even a hurricane by midweek. So we are keeping an eye on that, as well as some other things happening in the Atlantic. Now, along those lines, this time of year, if you live in the south and even in the central part of our country, we get tornadoes, and tornadoes can spin up very quickly. You might have a mild day, 75 or 80 degrees, just warm enough in the upper atmosphere that when a little cool jet stream heads down from Canada, those two collide, and they can quickly spin up tornadoes, and so we have to look out for those as well. Be prepared. As we say over and over again, if you work in security, it doesn't matter what state, what country, we always have to be prepared for bad weather because we are working out there in the bad weather. You should have a go bag that specifically is for bad weather. Have your rain gear, have your galoshes, your boots, rubber boots, have some extra food, canned food, a couple of bottles of water, extra flashlight batteries, a blanket. Be prepared because you never know with Mother Nature what is going to happen. And living both on the Atlantic coast in the Carolinas and on the Gulf Coast, I can tell you that when you least expect it, a storm will suddenly appear. And it can make your sunny day a catastrophic day very easily. Well, a short reminder, all across the country right now, we have county fairs happening, and in many of those locations, I love the county fair, by the way, I love some fried, strange foods that they have there. I love the people, the atmosphere, the excitement. And last year, many county fairs were closed down because of COVID. This year, many are open, and hopefully everyone will stay safe. But I love a county fair. But many, many county fairs hire unlicensed personnel and make them security officers. They call them ambassadors. They call them county fair staff. But they're really doing security officer duties. Of course, we see this across the country, not only with county fairs, but with companies, events. We have oftentimes many concerts that employ unlicensed security. And we've had conversations in the last few months, actually since COVID began, but more in the last few months, about some type of stringent licensing for these people who are slipping through the loopholes. Now, just this past week, I was able to talk with Tennessee and also Georgia about this very thing. The Department of Commerce and Insurance Regulatory Licensing told me that they were writing some new updates on the training that they are beginning to look at how they can better enforce the training and licensing aspect, as did Georgia. Many states, especially with the ever-present uptick of security officer use of force and the use of force against a security officer, they are looking at ways to keep security officers safe. And one of those is training, and the other is mandates to make employers provide the training, the equipment, and also some other safety aspects. Did you know that the law actually requires every employee to be safe and every employer to provide any type of equipment up to body armor if that area, that property, that job assignment requires it? It's our job to keep our employees safe. No two ways about it. As an employer, I really want to encourage you to stay on top of the methods of keeping employees safe. There are many different, and I mean many, when I say many, there are many, many different companies out there that have little buttons, alarms on that you can download to your cell phone that a employee could immediately hit. Many of them are GPS equipped, so it would locate that security employee, and they are relatively inexpensive. Many universities and colleges use similar software programs for the safety of their students. All they have to do is pull up that app and hit a button, and they're automatically connected two-way with either a dispatch center or with law enforcement or with that university's security or police department. It is vitally important in this day and age, when so many security officers are attacked, that we give them something. I personally prefer two-way radio communication, that you have your own command center, that you have your own dispatch. And if you can't afford that, there are many different companies. 911, there's a company called 911Net. They have a nationwide two-way radio service, and they will take on your company with one employee or 100 employees. And that's just one of five or six that exist across the country. I remember starting up my security company back in the 80s. We had telephone operators that acted as our dispatch center. A few years down the road after beginning, they took over our radio. We got to a radio. It was a UHF radio at that time, and we got a repeater, and they were able to dispatch somewhat for us, which gave us a little bit of a safety line, a safety net for myself and other officers. And eventually we went to Nextel and another company called Southern Link, which provided nationwide coverage. And there are companies, like I said, that do the same thing these days on the similar type radio. It's called the Push to Talk Network, and it's well worth the money. We have to keep our people safe. Command Staff College is currently, the registration for session two is open. Go to armorcollege.org, armor, A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org, and sign up today. Right now, registration is open. Session two is now in progress, but you're not too late to sign up. Do it now. It is a 20-week exciting 146-hour course. Everyone that I've talked to that's currently in session one has said it's challenging but rewarding. Check it out. Register today. Remember, if you live in the Charlotte metropolitan or South Carolina area and you need private protective service training, or you need SLED South Carolina unarmed or armed, that you call our friends at Premier Training Academy in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, their phone number, 704-806-4933. That's 704-806-4933. Our friend John over there will take good care of you. Whether you're in the Charlotte Metro or South Carolina, they do all of the unarmed and armed. They use the best instructors in the area. They also offer first aid, CPR, and other EMS-type courses, and personal safety as well. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, and we're coming right back.
A crisis, everybody. Now, most of you have seen me wearing my signature mask on a plane. I love wearing it when I fly. I tend to get my own row 99% of the time. It's simple. Just wear the mask and cough. Because who wants to sit next to this guy? I don't blame you. And I went from being the only one on a plane wearing a mask to now everybody is doing it. Out in public, the park, at the mall, at the post office, with their girlfriend, with their husband's girlfriend. We need to help our doctors, our nurses, and our healthcare workers who are fighting COVID-19 head on. And we need to make sure they don't acquire the virus. These frontliners have been running out of personal protective equipment, PPE. People have asked me, Kayvon, are you down with PPE? Are you down with PPE? Are you down with PPE? I'm like, yeah, you know me. Yeah, you know me. The CDC has been forced to downgrade the need for N95 masks, the surgical masks, now down to bandanas because of a lack of supplies. Does this seem like a good idea to you? Hi, I'm your doctor. I'm also here to rob your bank. Bandanas? Scarves? What kind of PPE is that? One more. This is one of the easiest ways you can be a hero. So if you're a healthcare provider in need, or if you have supplies you can donate, there are a lot of groups leading the effort. Start with the PPE Coalition. They're a great resource, and they can get you pointed in the right direction. So there you have it. Be a hero, make a donation, and help a frontline healthcare professional. After all, their health right now is in your hands. And while you're at it, wash those too. If you don't, you're disgusting.
Yeah, you know me. Yeah, you know me. Yeah, you know me.
Body Armor USA, we have what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for stab-resistant vests because you work in the corrections industry, or maybe you're looking for protective clothing, gloves, or the top-level body armor, contact my friend Ben over at BodyArmorUSA.com. Give him a call, 516 area code, that's New York, 817-1666. Again, that's area code 516-817-1666. Or go to their website at BodyArmorUSA.com. We've got what it takes to protect you. Talking about protection, we're excited to participate in the third annual Tribal Security Symposium. This is going to be held in Alpine, California. That's in the San Diego area. And we're just about 44 days away from this third annual Tribal Security Symposium. Excited to participate this year. We're going to be exhibiting. We're going to have our tables out there. We're going to have some personnel there. We're excited to be working with Native Nation Events. They're the sponsor and the promoter of this event. This involves casinos, hotels, and resorts. It's a very unique symposium that covers one of the most important aspects of running a casino, hotel, or other enterprise, and that is security. The world that we're living in right now just continues to grow in uncertainty, and everyday establishments are at risk for a wide variety of threats, including physical violence, theft, fraud, inappropriate behaviors, people that are just way, way out, inappropriate behaviors that really put the welfare of patrons at risk, and that's why security needs to be ready. Many times, as I've said, it's not that we couldn't have been ready.
It's not that we want to fail, but we do. We do. We fail to train. We fail to execute. In this symposium, we're going to be talking to the top security experts from around the country regarding the best practices to protect your employees, customers, and brand. All sessions are designed to ensure you bring back knowledge to your enterprise to create a safer, more secure organizational environment. And we're going to be there. We'll be talking about private officer. We'll be talking about Armor College. We're excited. Right now, we have several of our POI members that anticipate on being there. Go to nativenationevents.org today and sign up. I'm pretty sure that you're going to have a good time and that you're going to walk away from that symposium with a lot of information and maybe some good connections as well. That's one of the benefits of going to an event. We meet a lot of like-minded folks, a lot of experts. We make a lot of good contacts. So check it out today or give us, send us an email if you need more information. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And remember, you can have contacts and we'll be able to network, maybe even help grow your company. Contact us for more information at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Remember to be part of this conversation and others just by going over to our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Private Officer International, or join us almost 24 hours a day, really, at twitter.com/Private Officer. We have some very good news. We've had a lot of response when we first conducted session one over at Armor College of the Citizen Police Academy. Many people contacted us to register for the upcoming academy, and everybody was waiting, and we were kind of hesitating. Maybe we might, you know, wait until next spring, but we're going to go ahead with a fall session, session two of the Citizens Police Academy. Everybody that went there raved about it, enjoyed it, and I'm not just making that up. And they really, really, really participated. So we're going to go ahead, and this coming week we'll be making an announcement of the registration date. It's entirely free. It won't cost you a dime or a nickel. You'll be able to have a 15-week Citizen Police Academy at your door. It's virtual. You're not going to have to go anyplace. You won't have to spend any money. You don't have to buy any uniforms, any books. It's all going to be virtual and online. We will be sending out an email with registration information. I do want to just say this. If you do register, this is not an easy course. It's not something that you'll spend 5 minutes. You got to spend at least 2 hours a week. You have to participate at least 2 hours. Now, if you went to a physical civilian police academy training, it's usually 3 to 4 hours once a week for about 10 weeks. So you're looking at about 40 hours of training. With our virtual class online, you're going to have to spend about 2 hours a week. And again, it's going to come out to about 30 hours. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got so much more information to share with you, more things to talk about, more training, more news. And remember, if you see something, say something. If you see something involving private security, law enforcement, send us a news link or even just the details. Hey, I saw a security officer performing CPR at the mall the other day. Send us that information and we'll research it and recognize them. Or, hey, I saw a police officer getting hurt, and I don't know if you guys know about this, and just send us that detail and we will research it for our news. Remember, you can check out our news 24 hours a day online at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Be sure to listen to our radio shows. We have a lot of news here as well. We'll be right back.
My 18th birthday because I'm a fatal victim of gun violence. My friends, my family, my own mother was devastated, can't see her son anymore because of gun violence. And everyone's here at the funeral. But before they lay me to rest, there's just one last thing I have to do. How many more of us have to die from gun violence? Let's put a stop to this, because if we don't, the next time it could be your child lying in this casket.
Brought to you by Man Up Inc. USA, a proud member of the Gun Violence Awareness Movement.
Welcome back to the Private Officer Beat Radio on this Monday morning. We're sitting over here at the news desk, perusing through this weekend's horrific violence against security officers. We saved this from being headline news, as we sometimes will do. Whenever we start off the radio program with serious news like security officers being murdered or violent crimes against security officers, some people comment or email us that this is just negativity on our part, and especially when security officers get arrested or do something that they should not. So sometimes we save it, the news, the serious stuff, for later in the program, which is what I did today, kind of held back on it. But we do have a lot of serious news happening right now. This weekend, at least 11 security officers shot that we know of, and 3 security officer deaths, and 1 security officer involved in a fatal shooting, all occurring this weekend. A story coming out of Danvers, Massachusetts, an African-American family now accusing a farm and their security guard as being racially discriminating after they attended some festivals there, and they were accused of stealing 6 apples from the farm store after paying more than $100 for an all-day admission, buying food and beverages and other items from the store. They were stopped on their way out to the parking lot by a security guard accusing them of theft. Police were eventually called, and they searched the bags and the property and found no 6 apples. And in fact, after a close look at their receipt for other products bought, they were actually overcharged for their purchase. Now they're looking for a reimbursement. They're looking for an apology. They're looking for a change, and I agree. Violent news coming out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Anaheim, California. A security officer was stabbed to death Saturday by a suspicious person. The man who was stabbed was a security officer for the property. Unfortunately, the security officer did not make it. He has been identified by police, and unfortunately, the 46-year-old man, Joseph Paul Gomez, was new to a position at the strip mall as a security officer, and one person, Andrew Godinez, 24, is in custody. A security officer in Metro Atlanta also shot to death in the early morning hours of Sunday. We're still trying to get more details on that. And also, a number of security officers have been shot. And as we look at these news stories, many of them were at nightclubs. A security officer for the Liberty County, Texas court also succumbed to COVID over the weekend. Joseph Reese, a former deputy with Liberty County and a county constable, Harris County, for 25 years, was working as a security officer at the Liberty County Courthouse, coming in contact with the public daily, and the Texas Department of State Health Services say that he succumbed to COVID-related complications. A police officer off duty working as a security guard. Let's get this straight. He was a security officer in Oxon Hill, Maryland, just outside of Baltimore, shot and killed a man during a confrontation at an apartment complex. The man produced a gun, which later turned out to be a replica. Prince George County Police are investigating along with state agents. Also coming out this weekend, a security officer was shot, listen to this, 13 times and is in critical condition. In San Antonio, Texas, two security officers are hospitalized after being shot at a nightclub after a disturbance, and they are still in the hospital. Ripley, Tennessee, police officer was found unconscious and unresponsive at the police station in Ripley, Tennessee. Later, he was determined to have died, possibly of heart conditions. Nonetheless, he died while on duty and had been a police officer for quite some time. Also coming out of Kansas, Sedgwick County, police there are investigating after a Quick Trip, which is a convenience store, gas station, security officer shot a 23-year-old woman 2 a.m. Saturday morning. Police dispatched to the Quick Trip. They say the security officer had a confrontation with a woman who was causing a disturbance, asking her to leave, trying to remove her from the business. And that woman drew a weapon from her purse. The security officer tried to get her to drop the weapon, and when she finally refused and threatened the security officer with it, he shot and killed her. She had a replica gun. Also, this is the second incident that we know of just this weekend, and it is something that is becoming more and more prevalent for law enforcement and security to find people actually carrying fake weapons or replicas or airsoft. Walnut Creek, California security officer is under arrest for assault after a disturbance at Dan's Sports Bar. He injured a man who was not threatening him. The 42-year-old security officer has been identified as Dante Sims of Antioch. Four people, including a security officer, has been shot in Orange County. Police say a disturbance also at a nightclub, La Palais nightclub. Police say the security officer was shot while trying to get a person to leave the property. Three others also shot. Another shooting at a nightclub, this one coming out of Minnesota. Again, a confrontation at a nightclub resulted in a person going to his vehicle and getting a gun and coming back and shooting up the place, injuring a security officer. Also in Minnesota, at the state fair, a man trying to protect his wife from several people who were fighting with her is unconscious and hospitalized with a brain bleed after being beaten up by several people. Security and police quickly were able to round up the suspects involved, and they are under arrest. Denver, Colorado, the Mile High City. They removed last year all of their police department, all of the police officers, the SROs, throughout the school system. They had their own school security come in. But now the Armed Security Force is asking the city of Denver for special police authority so that they can issue criminal summonses to students for violations ranging from marijuana possession and fighting to assault, graffiti, petty theft, selling drugs on the property, possession of weapons, so on and so forth. Now many in the city of Denver are questioning, isn't this a switch and bait? Are we not talking tomatoes, tomatoes? These armed security people will have law enforcement authority if this goes through the Denver Department of Public Safety and the Denver City's Attorney's Office is close to solidifying this arrangement with the Denver school system. Many are not happy with this because they're saying you might as well just put the Denver police officers back in school. This is not the first school system with such an arrangement. Several other schools that have replaced SROs with private security also went to that same system where security personnel could issue citations. LA County Sheriff's Department's investigating after school security and a deputy sheriff roughed up a person during an arrest allegedly at the Lancaster High School. Police are investigating whether or not they use excessive force, and we will, of course, keep you apprised. Missouri, Kimberling City, Missouri, a small police department unexpectedly and without reservation resigned every single officer, and police chief tendered their resignation, citing reasons from the pay rate to not having the proper tools to do their job. Many small police departments are facing layoffs or completely having their agencies closed. In the COVID environment, many communities cannot afford to pay their law enforcement personnel. Florence, South Carolina, a former TSA official has been sentenced to federal prison. Emmanuel Pappas, 52, stole money from the Federal Workers' Compensation Program, and now he is serving time in the federal prison. In Roxboro, North Carolina, courthouse security and deputy sheriffs were in a gun battle inside a courtroom Thursday after a man on trial produced a handgun and began shooting. No word onto how that person got his gun through court security, but he was shot and killed and died at Duke University Hospital. A lot of breaking news. We always tell you, go to privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. You can see all of the news right there. Also coming out of Federal Way, Washington, a loss prevention agent there is in very critical condition after being shot by a customer. The 30-year-old LP agent was called by employees to remove a drunk who was belligerent. And during that confrontation with security, the man pulled a gun and shot the LP agent in the chest. We checked on this, on his condition just yesterday. He is still listed as highly critical at this point. A San Francisco security officer, 71, has died from COVID complications. The man worked daily as a security officer and was hospitalized August the 19th and passed away after being put on a ventilator. A security officer in Miami-Dade County and 13 other school employees have died of COVID just since August this year. The Miami-Dade County Public School System made the information public. According to them, since August the 16th, 14 of their employees, including a school security officer is dead. A non-duty security officer in Charlotte, North Carolina, has been charged with rape of a juvenile during a medical transport. The security officer worked for a security company, a contract agency, that has a contract to transport non-violent, involuntarily committed persons to medical centers. And during that transport, he sexually assaulted a teenage female, and during the interview, he said he knew what he did was wrong. Also in the news, coming up across the country, we're seeing more and more private security officers being asked to do more, many jobs that in times past they just didn't do. And one of those is escorting COVID-19 medical personnel, staff, nurses, and others in what they're calling a mobile inoculation vaccination process in Colorado, New York, and other states. They have had tents and other locations for the public to come in and be vaccinated. Now they are taking their efforts to the community, setting up temporary locations. But in doing this, many have been harassed, assaulted, had vehicles vandalized and damaged, and now armed security personnel are escorting these teams in many different places throughout the country. Would you do it? This is going to be one of those contracts where you have to let your feelings leave your feelings at home and just go and do your job, just like any law enforcement or public safety personnel. In Macon, Georgia, Macon Big County has passed a law where all nightclubs, bars, and package stores must have armed security and high visibility cameras, top-notch 15 frames per second, clear pictures of the faces of patrons because of the violence. In Georgia, it is a regulatory state, and therefore, bouncers are not included. They must have state-certified private armed security officers. We're licensed in Georgia to present this training, and we understand that Georgia is a stricter regulatory state. It will definitely be interesting to see how these businesses handle and go about employing these armed security officers and installing such high-tech security equipment. Many other shootings happening across the country, many other incidents, they happen all the time, 24/7. Sign up today at privateofficer.org for breaking news. You will get that little email in your email box as soon as we know when something urgent has happened. Officer down reports and occasional training updates. Go to privateofficer.org, and while you're there, you can become a member of the Private Officer International Association. Just $99 right now, more than 40 member benefits. We're going to take a quick break. Coming back, we've got a lot more to talk about here on the Private Officer Beat.
In a minute, I'm going to drown in this pool, surrounded by friends and relatives. That's because Dad thinks Mom is watching me, and Mom thinks Dad is. But actually, nobody is watching me. And you rarely make a sound when you're struggling the most.
Don't assume someone else is watching. Become a water watchdog at abbyshope.org.
Why? Why take a chance? Why risk a mistake? Why say something? We all have reasons why we choose to ignore the things that give us pause, that seem out of place, that don't feel right. The word why can either paralyze us or empower us to stand up and protect what we love. So if you see something, why do you say something?
I see safe for my family.
I see safe for my friends.
I see safe so that they are safe. We see safe for each other.
I see safe because all of this matters.
We all have something worth protecting. A why that unifies the community we're all a part of. So protect your everyday. Report suspicious activity to local authorities. If you see something, say something.
The Federal Aviation Administration wants you to fly your drone responsibly. Avoid flying your drone near other aircraft, especially near airports. Fly your drone below 400 feet. Always keep your drone in sight. If you see a safety issue involving drones, contact local law enforcement immediately. Fly smart. Fly safe. Have fun.
Just as a reminder, if you're on the West Coast, Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Arizona, any place actually in the U.S., and you, your business, church, school would like to have a specialized training event at your location, well, you're in luck because we're going to be out there the middle of next month. If you would like to sponsor a training in your community, please contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. No event is too small or too big. We have many training subjects, and we often create training specific to a business. We do specialize in more than 200 types of courses and training. Some of our most popular right now is mental health response and emergencies, use of force with extra specialized de-escalation. We're also doing a lot of church security training, officer medical training and first aid, CPR, less than lethal force. Weapons is extremely important to be properly trained and certified in, so we do all of those as well. But we have many courses that are online that we can also bring to the class and others that we can create for you. Again, contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And we do need to get these scheduled by the end of September. So please contact us if you have more questions or you would like to get involved and sponsor or have us come by and do some training for you. I think it's important once again to remind our listeners, our social media followers, and our POI members that when we report news, especially this COVID situation, we're reporting information. We're not taking sides. We are very neutral. We have our own beliefs and feelings and experience, but we're not pushing that on people. Oftentimes when we report officer deaths because of COVID, we do get some pushback, emails, people opt out of the newsletter. I think that's all knee-jerk reaction and silly, to be honest with you, because we're not taking sides. We're not saying it was COVID. We're saying it's been reported as COVID. And the same is true when we report, when we bring up news relating to security officers being arrested. Again, we're not taking sides, and we don't know if it's true or if it did happen. We weren't there, and neither were you, but we are reporting news and information. A true journalist will report the news without any feelings, himself or herself, without any auditorial input other than the facts known, not we think, not that they did, not probably did happen. That's not up to us to judge. That's up to a court. That's up to others. We report the facts known. And if other facts become available, which sometimes they do, a security officer is charged in a use of force or other incident, and days, weeks, months, or even sometimes years later, information is made known that the charges were dropped or he was found or she was found innocent in a court of law, and we make that information known as well. Don't take it personal, and don't put us on the hot seat. You know, the old saying, don't shoot the person giving you the information. I'm just carrier of news. I'm just the person who's bringing the information to you. We're very excited about a new program that we're launching next month. It is called Case File Review. We have access to court reviews, cases that have gone through the court system, the judiciary system, involving both law enforcement and private security, many involving use of force, others search and seizure. Some do involve private security cases, other law enforcement cases, but they are applicable to private security. And so we're going to bring up these case files, these court reviews. Some of them are Supreme Court rulings, both on a state level as well as a national level. And so we're going to bring those up, and we're going to review them with you. And so be looking for that next month. We'll try to do one a month, maybe two, if we get enough cases coming in. Another benefit of being a listener, a follower, a POI member, we have many free benefits, and it's so important these days that people follow our information, our news, our listen to our radio shows, become a member, because there's a lot of things going on through POI that you're just not going to get elsewhere. And that's just a fact. Just a fact. Okay, we're looking currently for movie makers. And when I say movie makers, I'm talking about people who like to make movies, little short documentaries, or their own personal family things at home. We're looking for folks to be involved making our marketing and maybe corporate little videos. Of course, we pay for this. Contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. It's not going to be a full-time job. It's going to be as needed, but if you like making videos, you like editing and putting things together, simple editing skills is all that it's going to take. And while we're talking about lights, cameras, and action, you can tell your story. Right now, our Frontline TV show is looking to highlight private security officers, private police officers, loss prevention, security businesses, including contract and proprietary security departments, training schools, and patrol services. This is an opportunity right here and now to tell your story. We're going to put you in the spotlight. We're going to put your business in the spotlight. We're going to share real life experience with our audience. Individually, have you maybe performed CPR and saved a life? Have you made a great arrest or apprehension? Does your company provide patrol service? Tell us why you work in the private security industry or why you started a business in private security. Maybe you have some body camera footage that you'd like to share with our audience. Contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com immediately. We need to put this together ASAP. Our shows will be premiering soon. Again, this is all about highlighting and shining the spotlight on the security industry, the individuals, and the companies. This is really a great deal. It's free marketing, and it will allow the public to see what the 2021 security officers really do, how dangerous it is, and what their jobs really are, as opposed to the concept that people think that they are. Contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're going to take another quick break. We're coming right back. We're going to have a little bit of a topic that we want to talk about before we conclude this week's episode.
Together. He got his license when he was 16. We were going to the beach and Luke was driving. I was in the passenger seat and all of a sudden I don't remember anything. I wasn't conscious for it. We got hit by a drunk driver. I feel like I knew right away that it was never going to be the same. I don't know. The doctors, they were telling me I was so lucky to be alive. When I found out that he died on impact, I didn't really feel lucky. And sometimes I still don't. Drinking and driving is completely unnecessary, and I think it's selfish if you do it. It's not worth taking that risk, because you never know what's going to happen.
Gordon Graham here with today's tip from Lexapol. And today's tip deals with doing your job and doing it right. Technical competence. I talk about this in all of my live lectures. You've got to be technically competent. And this applies to all my friends in public safety, the cops, the firefighters, the paramedics, and everybody in between. You've got to be technically competent. Why? I recently read a story about officers who were responding to a 911 call reporting a domestic violence situation. Cops arrived at the location and saw nothing outside. I am sure there's much more to the story, but the article says the cops never even got out of the car to investigate. And a woman was found later on inside, strangled to death. Now, maybe this was just plain laziness, but there had been prior domestic disturbance calls at the house. Maybe the cops are tired of going to the same old place for the same old thing. Nothing serious going on last time we were here, so there's probably nothing serious going on today. Ladies and gentlemen, this is complacency. What are some of the minimum steps that could have been taken? First and foremost, the most obvious one to me, get out of the car. This is not advanced rocket science. Get out of the car. Take a look around. Listen. Knock on the door. Have dispatch call back. talk to the neighbors. And this is not limited to cops. Fire and EMS personnel can fall into this trap of complacency also. It might be tempting to skip your normal procedures when you respond to that hypochondriac who calls every week. But it will be a tragedy if the one time you don't check it out thoroughly, those reported chest pains are in fact real. This could happen in jail settings also. You probably have that inmate who was a chronic complainer. Do you handle the fifth complaint the same way you did the first one? Really smart people fought long and hard to develop policies and procedures and protocols that we have in place. Sure, it takes a bit longer to follow them, but not following them could lead to tragedy. And when they look back on your actions, the excuse, you didn't think it was a big deal, is just not going to cut it. Do your job right. Do it thoroughly, not just some of the time, but all of the time. Not just when you think the call is legit, but all of the time. And that is today's tip from Lexapol. Gordon Graham signing off.
Gordon Graham is a 33-year veteran of law enforcement and a co-founder of Lexapol, a public safety training and risk management corporation. It's important to understand when he and others talk about complacency that complacency is a killer. It's what gets people in trouble. It's what gets them hurt on the job. It's what gets them killed. Complacency is defined as a quiet pleasure or security, often unaware of potential danger, defects, or it can be self-satisfaction or even being smug. When you work in a dangerous profession, and then you compile and make it even more dangerous by working in dangerous assignments such as nightclubs, apartments, low housing income projects, gated communities, any place these days, shopping malls, restaurants, bars, liquor stores, they're all dangerous. But because we oftentimes become complacent, we don't see it. We don't believe it. We don't understand it. Nah, not going to happen here. Not going to happen to me. No, I'm Superman. I've got a Superman's cape on. I'm never going to be injured, hurt, killed. I'm indestructible. Until you're not. When are we in the public safety security arena going to start understanding, acting like we understand that our life is on the line every single dang minute? That uniform, gun, and badge is on your body. As long as you're in the public, as long as you stand between right and wrong, as long as you are in that middle space with your finger in the dike holding back the water, you will never be safe. And until you become understanding of that, aware of that, self-aware, your life is on the line and you are easy pickings. I don't know how many police and security personnel I've heard over my 45 plus years career, but here's the thing. Many of them say, nothing's going to happen to me. I'm aware. I'm looking around. And we talk about this all the time, about being aware, about knowing your surroundings, situational awareness. And yet every week we see security officers shot. We see security officers killed. We see injuries after injuries. Sometimes they are situations that could have been prevented. Sometimes if the security officer had been more alert. Gordon Graham had been preaching this for more than 40 years himself. I have been preaching this since day one in the field. My first couple of months on the security job, I was at a factory. I thought I was going to relax at 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning and enjoy a little R&R in the president's office in a lazy boy recliner. I wasn't asleep, but I certainly had my eyes closed, and I was comfortable, unarmed. It was a factory, a foundry. What would happen there? But all of a sudden, a round of gunfire went off, several bullets striking the building, and my life was on the line. But I had never recognized the potential danger that could happen at that business, at that location, at that hour. To me, this was just a simple guard job, make a round once an hour and everything's A-okay, don't worry about it. But no one had told me that they had fired an employee earlier that day and that he threatened to come back and get the owners, the managers. No one relayed that information. I was secure. I thought it was secure. I thought I was safe. I thought everything was great. And this isn't the first time that happened. Apartment complex a number of years ago. It was upscale, you know, average people lived there, people, working people, middle class. But no one said anything about a person being thrown out of the apartment after not paying rent and having multiple problems with management earlier in the day. And that night he drove by and fired off a couple of rounds right in my direction. Again, luckily, I was not hit. This is not just an occasional situation. A security officer sitting in his vehicle at a construction site in Dallas, Texas, was mistaken to be a police officer and was shot and killed. Another security officer, mistaken to be a police officer, was attacked last year by a woman with a machete, and she plainly told police when they arrived, "I don't care what uniform he got. I was just angry. I was going to hurt the police because they'd be hurting us." We can become smug. We can be so sure of ourselves that we're actually putting ourselves in greater jeopardy, in greater danger because of our complacency. It does not matter if you're working at a hospital, an apartment complex, a hotel, a casino, a condominium. It does not matter these days what that assignment is. You know that. You hear the news. You see the news. You read our news alerts. You understand, or you should understand, this is a dangerous job. I don't care if you're making $7.50 an hour or $75 an hour. The danger is the same. It's real. And until we get that through our head and through we get that through our mind, we're putting ourselves and others in greater danger than's necessary. Training is a huge aspect. But even bigger than that, it's self-awareness, being aware of ourselves, our capabilities of what we can and can't do, being situationally aware of our surroundings and knowing when to call 911, when to get the heck out of Dodge. That's even bigger aspect of staying alive. Don't second guess. Don't think it's not going to happen there. It's not going to happen to you. Don't think you're well prepared. I'm well trained. I've got a gun. I'm a sharpshooter. Oh, I'm prior military. Officer after officer after officer is killed year after year. Veterans, some of them served 10, 20 years, had several assignments in the areas of war, a lot of experience, and still come home to be killed as a police officer. I can remember, it's been about 7 or 8 years ago, but a recently retired police officer in Florida became an armored truck guard I'm sure he thought this was just, you know, it's going to be a little dangerous, but I've been a cop for a long time. I'm retired. I'm experienced. And unfortunately, he was shot and killed during a robbery. Be sure that we understand the dangers. Be sure that we're alert every single day. Go that extra step. Check that suspicious vehicle. Check that suspicious person. Make sure that we're prepared, that we understand the dangers fully. Don't let your guard down. Don't think it's not going to happen. Don't ever trick yourself, fool yourself into thinking or believing or feeling that, no, I'm good to go. Bring it on. Bring it on. I'm good to go. I can handle it. Because sometimes you can't. That's going to do it for this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Thank you for joining us. Remember, read our daily news blog at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com or check us out at facebook.com/Private Officer International. Join the conversation on Twitter/Private Officer. Until the next time, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.